the Gospel reading from John. Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him, but the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. When his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, but not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they're trying to kill? And look, he's speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he's from, and when the Christ comes, no one will know where he's from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also where I'm from. Yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him, because his hour had not yet come. So the Gospel of the Lord. The setting is the Feast of Tabernacles, and the disciples have gone up to Jerusalem, but Jesus is apprehensive because many of the religious leaders wanted to kill him. So he goes up quietly to participate in the feast. Tabernacles was a reenactment of the time in the desert when God led the Jewish people out of captivity and into freedom. The feast became very popular, and Jerusalem was the focus of the celebration. Men lived in tents, took their meals in tents for 7 days. Can you imagine the lighting on the mountains and hills there in the evening with the candles and campfires? On the 8th day, there was a special prayer thanking Yahweh for protection during the Exodus. Also, there were prayers for rain and water and wine were poured on the altar. There was also a reference to a future Messiah who would dig from a well, dispensing symbolically the life-giving message of the Torah. You can imagine the beauty of the city, just remarkable time. So it became a very popular, happy feast. During these nights, 4 menorah were lit in the court of the women at the temple, and men of piety danced well into the night, accompanied by the singing of the Levites. There's also a remembrance of the pillar of fire that led the way through the wilderness. In the morning, when the sun rose, the priests enacted a special ritual at the temple. In former times, their ancestors worshipped the sun, they said. Our fathers, when they were in this place, turned their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. But as for us, our eyes are turned toward the Lord. And then the priests would turn their backs to the rising sun and face the temple. Is it little wonder that this pilgrimage up to Jerusalem and these celebrations became so popular for many of the people? I just really would love to see that dance. And can you imagine the Levites singing? Well, now Jesus appears among the pilgrims and the crowds who were joined in the celebration. The consensus was that the Messiah's origins would be unknown. Jesus appears and speaks up, "You know me, and also where I come from. Yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." They tried to arrest him, but quite remarkably, he simply walked away. Such direct language gives a hint of how Jesus was able to walk away from what must have been a very dangerous situation. According to the customs of that time, teachers maintained their authority by passing on a tradition of an authoritative teacher from the past. Jesus was no such teacher or repeated such a point of reference. His teaching had its origin directly in the Father. Perhaps some of his listeners were picking up on this more distant claim to authenticity, and also they must have been struck by the sheer goodness and beauty of his teaching. Perhaps you've also experienced a teacher who is locked into various experts and authorities from the past, but really had very, very little to say for himself. This was often the case among my seminary teachers prior to Vatican II, with some exceptions. Some of you could just cut their fear with a knife, and when you invited them into a controversial topic, it was just hopeless. On the other hand, there were some who spoke from their own experience and from the heart. And it's always a delight to hear such a person of authenticity. Perhaps this is the most refreshing thing about Pope Francis. He speaks the truth and is not overly concerned to protect himself when his loving awareness of a person's worth leads him beyond the neat distinctions of the present state of moral theology. Morality matters, certainly, and is of consequence, but the discovery and expression of love for people is always far more important. With the remarkable changes of modern life, globalization, climate change, a revolution in communications, it's really necessary to have someone point out the central experience of all our choices as followers of Jesus, and that is the primacy of love and mercy. If we stay grounded in this central Christian vision, we'll have a good starting point and frame of reference to which we can work out the duties and consequences of necessary moral choices that are presented to us. These are surely important, but must be worked out or rediscovered in the light of our primary Christian commitment, which is the love of God and our neighbor. Perhaps we need to go on pilgrimage and live in a tent for a while and experience the plight of refugees and all those excluded from life's blessings, and see them again as our brothers and sisters, and know this from primary experience. Then, as in ancient Jerusalem, we may witness Jesus walk through our midst and discover anew what is his message of salvation and what it really means. My love needs to become more nuanced, my sense of the Father expanded, so that I may learn to bless my brothers and sisters in their real need, as our God surely loves them. In the darkness of this time, I return to the temple to join the dance of the elders as they rejoice in the light and living promise of salvation. In spite of all darkness, we welcome the light in our time.